Simen Shin Aleph, we are continuing Siv Chav Gimel. Oyser Igulim Yerukim Shigozer Matas Shikol Yudhi Yisa Echad Meim Riksusa. The yellow stars or circles that they had to identify Jews. That was in certain parts of Europe. Jews had to go around with identification of the Jews. Mut Elotet Ben Shab, Lotet Ben Afilo Eino Tov Riksusa Ramachul Basham Ksas. Even though we saw that certain things you could attach to your garment, if it's a natural part of the garment, only if it's sewn on, because otherwise the concern may fall off and you'll carry it. But these patches that the Jews had to go around with, it's enough that it's connected, knotted on or somehow tied on to the garment, because we're not afraid it's going to fall off, you can continue walking with it, because it's illegal to go without the patch, so right away put it back on. As far as considered carrying something, it's considered part of the malbush. That's the way the Jewish clothing looked in those days. In those days, people used to tie or sew a handkerchief to the sleeve of the garment, or some other part of the garment. And since that was a normal way to do it, it wasn't considered carrying the handkerchief, it was considered an extension of the garment. And therefore, it is acceptable. But Mr. Rubin brings it has to be sewn on before Shabbos, because once again, we have a chash that if it's not sewn on properly, may fall off and you'll come to carry. Shabru brings that in those days it was a normal thing to have a handkerchief affixed to the garment, therefore it's both to the beggar. He says nowadays that it's not a normal thing to have a handkerchief sewn into the garment, therefore it's not both, it will be also. He says that even so there are those that are more lenient. Tazan says the handkerchief is something which is not kosher and therefore is both to the garment. So the gift is not everything that's connected to a garment is considered part of the garment. If you need a handkerchief, the only age you would have nowadays is to wear it as a garment, which isn't big enough, you can wear it around your neck as a scarf, or over your head as a, also something, hair covering. That was, even though the days it was considered part of the garment, it was only a garment, but to tie a handkerchief to a belt, it had nothing to do with the belt, and therefore that would be also in those days. Mr. Brewer does have an eta of fixing it to the end of the belt and making the belt longer by having the handkerchief. Once again, today it's not no gala mice because today's belt doesn't help to put an extra piece of handkerchief. It doesn't add anything. Sif Chav Dalet. Yoytu demina atzavim shekoshim oysen v'ksharim v'toyim oysen certain types of plants. They would make some type of kameya out of it, carry it for a fua, and that is acceptable. He's not talking about carrying in one's hand, he's talking about carrying around the neck. This is something that was known to work and therefore it's acceptable. So if you have something like a bite plate in your mouth, it's also acceptable because that's something for medicinal purposes and it's a normal thing, known that it works. That's the opinion of Shlomo Zan Orevat. They bring that to medicine to others as machmir since it's not for immediate health, it's for long term treatment of the teeth. So now we're saying a new chiddush. Not every amulet is considered a type of tasha that you can go out with on Shabbos. It has to be something that's real. But it's a fake one that doesn't really work or hasn't been proven to work. And even though this person is doing it because it may work, it's not enough a reason to permit it. This is a chiddush, so there'd be reason to say that even if there's a small chance it will work, he's hoping that's going to work. That's good enough. Now, even the ones that are permitted, only if you deaf malvish, you hang it around your neck, or around your bracelet at it, but to carry in one's hand, even with a mumcha, it works 100% well, but one's not allowed to carry something that's not making it possible for him to walk. So this is just for medicinal purposes, it does not have a hesed to hold it in one's hand and go to Rishus HaRabim. Now, what's a mumcha? There's two types of mumchas. If it's something that has been proven to work, you can go out with it. And now, we're going to say two types. Lo yishnoit mechoi gavra, lo kemiyah. Gavra means the one who is making the kameya. He has been proven three times to make a kameya that helps three different people from one this type of machla. So from this we see that he knows how to be the rapid of machla because it wasn't only for one person, it was for three different people. And also each time he wrote a different type of kameya. So it's nothing to do with specific kameya, it has to do with the one who's writing it. He's a mumcha for writing kameyas for this type of disorder. From now on, anybody who has a disorder that goes to this person, have a kameya for him, and then he'll be permitted to go after Rishus HaRabim. Because once again, the writer of the kameya is a mumcha for writing kameyas for this disorder, this machal. That's the case of his mother Gavra for loy kameya. He didn't use the same one three times, he wrote three different ones for three different people. Going, she calls it lachash echa, the shoshikaris, Like we said before, he wrote three different types of kameyas for three different people, for one machla, and they all worked. It's macha gaber, lois or lachash, b'chol pam shechavena. He uses this nusach that's written in it for anybody else, then it works. Below the shal of lachash, since he was proven to be an expert on a certain nusach, that works, but none of the nusach doesn't work. Gamein and kameya mulcha, yechavena achav. Somebody else writes that we know this can work even, but we know this person who made it. Right. We will see you in 7 minutes of time.